You have been listening to the final section of The Firebird, a ballet interpretation by Stravinsky of The Firebird of Russian folklore. I'm sure you agree that the slow yet very strong rhythms and chords of this finale form a very dramatic ending. Hello and welcome back. I'm Brian. This is the second part of our program with the title About Music. In this second part, we will be talking about the musical element duration. In general, the word duration simply means how long something lasts. We could talk about how many minutes long the music is, or a section of the music, but in the context of music, we are talking at a micro level about the amount of time that each individual note lasts. Without this aspect, every song or composition would simply be a steady stream of notes of equal length, without any shape. The moment we start to add variety to the length of the notes, we start to create rhythm. The concept of rhythm in turn leads us to that fundamental that we loosely call the beat. Rhythm is one of the fundamental building blocks of music. It refers to the way that sounds are organized and structured in time, creating patterns and cycles that give music a sense of movement and energy. Rhythm is a key component of all musical genres, from classical music to hip-hop to electronic dance music. It's the element that creates excitement. Here's a prime example by Beethoven, where he uses a distinctive rhythmic figure to create excitement from the first to the last note in his Symphony No. 5. The rhythmic figure is three quick notes, followed by a longer sustained note. We will listen to the first section of the Symphony No. 5. I'm sure you'll recognize this music. You might be tempted to sing along, but instead I would like you, when you listen to this time, to focus on that recurring rhythm and decide if the music would be just as exciting if this element was missing. In fact, here's a better idea. I would really like you to air conduct with your hands. Imagine you have the orchestra in front of you. You will be amazed how conducting this music will draw you right into that rhythm. Don't worry if you get some strange looks, they're just jealous.
Thank you.
How was that? Did you have fun conducting it? When you have an opportunity, please listen to the entire symphony, which has four movements, and see if you can identify how this feature of three quick notes followed by a longer note occurs in every movement. In Western music, the most commonly used system for representing duration is musical notation. Musical notation uses symbols to indicate the length of each sound or silence in a piece of music. At the beginning of a piece of music, there are usually two numbers that look like a fraction. For example, a number 4 over another number 4. What the number at the top is telling the person reading the music is that this piece is divided into measures of 4 beats. So a 3 over a 4 would have measures of 3 beats. Any number could be at the top, but 3 and 4 are the most common. The Beethoven symphony we just heard had a number 2 at the top. Why would a composer divide up the music in this manner? It's simply a method to make the music easier to read and understand. Perhaps you could compare this to words on a page. If the words were jammed together without spaces in between, you could still read them, but it would be more difficult. So the use of measures or bars with bar lines separating those measures simply helps to focus the eye and the brain. It gives a visual representation of the position of the beats. And what about the number at the bottom of the fraction? That number tells us what kind of note each beat is. And using a simple terminology in 4 over 4, each note is a quarter of a bar long. So we call it a quarter note. You would recognize this note as an overgrown black dot with a stick attached to it. The stick could point up or down, but it's not the kind with the extra curved line attached, just the plain up or down line. There are other symbols for notes that are twice as long, four times as long, half as long, quarter as long, and so on. In a future program, we can spend time on this concept. Here's an example of a fast-moving piece in the 4 over 4 time that I spoke about. Each note that you hear is called a 16th, which means that if a quarter note lasts 1 second, you would hear 4 of the 16th notes per second. As you listen to these quick notes, take note that there are other instruments that are keeping the beat at a slower rate. Try to identify the sound of these steadily marching quarter notes, which are less loud than the flowing 16th notes. The piece is by Handel. It's called The Arrival of the Queen of Sheba.
Thank you.
That's enough about the arithmetic of music. What we need to understand at this point is that energized music very frequently proceeds at a speed of 120 quarter note beats per minute, or 2 beats per second. And relaxed music is often half of that at 60 beats per minute, or 1 beat per second. Now here's a fun fact for you. Those speeds are not accidental. For a healthy human, a healthy heart rate is also around 60 beats per minute at relaxation, and from 120 beats per minute and upwards when exercising or excited, or anything in between according to your mood and what you're doing. So you can imagine that ballads and gentle songs at the lower end of this range matching to your heart rate around 60, but active dance music would be around 120. DJs know this. They choose the beat of the songs they will play according to the heart rate and level of excitement that they want to create. You can also use this to influence your mood and heart rate. When you want to calm yourself, it's not unusual for a person to choose music with a relaxing beat at the slower end of the spectrum. And when you want to feel energized, that same piece is not going to do it for you. Now you want something faster. You want something with a quicker beat. This concept is called the tempo of the music. The Beethoven we listened to was one of these energized pieces with a rapid beat. Here's another example. You probably know this one from the TV series The Lone Ranger, or from any one of dozens of movies, but it's actually Rossini's overture to his opera, William Tell.
Thank you.
In addition to patterns of long and short notes, when we listen to music, we become aware of recurring pulsation. This refers to the upper number of that fraction. We actually start to perceive how the beats fall into groups of twos, threes, and fours. Our ear starts to anticipate the meter of the music, and we expect that the music will continue to follow the pattern. Think, for example, of a march. Left, right, left, right, left, right. We tend to say the word left more strongly than the word right. It becomes 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2. Or think of a waltz. 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3. Here's an energized Hungarian dance by Brahms. Try with this piece as you listen to not pay attention to the individual beats of the melody, but to the underlying pulse. It's provided by the bass instruments and percussion. It consists of alternating low notes, which you will hear most clearly in the slower sections. These pulses underpin the rhythm. They keep the orchestra together, and they provide the listener with the foot tapping that underpins the dance. Often you will find yourself tapping your foot without consciously knowing where you picked up the beat. Listen carefully under all the bluster, and you will find what your subconscious picked up and sent to your foot. This Brahms Hungarian dance is number 5. We actually only get the real rhythm with these stresses of the notes according to the music. If these stresses were missing, it's like reciting a poem in sing-song fashion without any expression. Imagine the surprise, therefore, when a composer deliberately upsets that regular rhythm for expressive purposes. Gershwin's I've Got Rhythm uses syncopation, which involves placing accents or beats in unexpected places. On the first two run-throughs of the melody, Gershwin just leaves us in the dark. As we try to find the beat, he fools around with us and keeps us guessing. Then he offers us some decidedly jazzy chords. And finally, he gives us that foot-tapping bass to help us sort out how he plays with the rhythm, which incidentally turns out to be in two beats. Let's listen to Gershwin, I've Got Rhythm. Thank you. Syncopation creates a sense of tension and energy in music. It's a common feature of many dance rhythms. It creates a strong rhythmic reaction in the listener. Syncopation is the deliberate placement of accents or rhythms on offbeats or weak beats. So the composer upsets what we anticipated by coming in too early or too late. This is a favorite technique of composers such as Gershwin and Bernstein, and it features heavily in jazz, blues, and most popular music of the 20th century. Yet another surprise is when the composer avoids a strong beat and produces a dreamy, suspended quality, as in Debussy's Prelude to the Afternoon of a Faun. It's important to notice, though, that the beat is still there. Otherwise, the music would stop completely. The beat is just not emphasized. So what are you supposed to listen to then? You could try to follow the beat, but far more profitable would be to simply lose yourself in the luxury of warm sound, wrapping around you like a blanket. The sheer beauty of a lazy afternoon as the faun, who after awakening from a nap on a sultry summer afternoon, contemplates his encounter with a group of nymphs. Imagine a blurry world, somewhere between dreaming and waking. Here's Debussy's Prelude to the Afternoon of a Faun. In last week's episode, I invited you to do a little bit of extra research, and I gave you some questions to which you could seek the answers. The first question was, please identify a few instruments or singers that use the treble or G clef. And the answers there could include the following: the violin, flute, oboe, cor anglais, clarinet, saxophones, horn, trumpet, vibraphone, xylophone, mandolin, recorder, bagpipe, guitar, and alto or soprano singers. The second question was, identify a few instruments or singers that use the bass or F clef. And there the answers could be the violoncello, the double bass, the bassoon, the tuba, the bass guitar, and tenor or bass singers. Then I asked you to please identify a few instruments or singers that might use the C clef. And I gave you a hint saying this clef is movable and can be called the alto clef, tenor clef, soprano clef, mezzo-soprano clef, and baritone clef. And instruments that use these include the viola, the cello, the bassoon, viola d'amore, viola da gamba, the alto trombone, and the countertenor voice. These five clefs were in very common use in the so-called Baroque period, so orchestras or groups that perform on original historical instruments will still be familiar with them. Nowadays, only the alto and tenor are still widely used, and usually the people who can read them also read the treble and bass clefs. The next question I asked you was, please think of three reasons why middle C is called middle C. Well, the three reasons are, it's found on the middle line of the grand staff, which consists of those 11 parallel lines. In other words, line number 6, whether you count from the top or the bottom. Second reason, it's the common note between male and female voice ranges for the average type singer, and it can be played on nearly all instruments, both bass and treble instruments. The third reason, and this one is not strictly true, but it's the most commonly believed one, is that it's roughly in the middle of the piano keyboard above the pedals, so it's easily accessible to both right and left hands. In fact, many piano lesson books start on middle C with both right and left hands as the first note that the piano student learns to read. Then I asked you to please listen to one piece written for a treble clef instrument, one for a bass clef instrument, and the remaining two sections of the Schumann Märchenbilder that we heard, which were for the C clef instrument. And I asked you to reflect on whether the relative low or high sounds mean something in your listening experience, and which of these speak most directly to your heart. So, which was it for you? For me personally, it's the warmth of the notes just around and below middle C, and the extreme bass notes on a really good grand piano. But this could be a male thing because this is where my voice is pitched. This is the calm and soothing range for me. For many people, it's the upper end of the female and male voices that speak to their heart most directly, often because of the excitement and thrill of a really energizing climax to a song, like, for example, Nessun Dorma. This is highly personal, but it has a definite influence on the music you choose to listen to. So the Debussy we just listened to and the Love Story music of last week, these speak straight to my heart. Now, back to some music. Rhythm can also be used to create complex and intricate patterns, such as polyrhythms, which involve layering multiple rhythms on top of one another. This technique is often used in African and Latin American music and can create a rich and complex texture that is both rhythmic and melodic. For our next item, I'm going to challenge you to listen to three different rhythms simultaneously and experience how layering of different rhythms work together to produce an exciting experience. The music is The Dance of the Nights from Prokofiev's Ballet Music to Romeo and Juliet. I would like you once again to air conduct. Listen for the heavy two-beat rhythm of the heavy bass instruments, the trombone, tuba, double bassoon, cello, and double bass. They are using that alternating pitch that we heard in the Brahms. That's at a speed of 66 beats per minute. Those are your conducting beats. Now notice that the horns, clarinet, bassoon, viola, and cellos fill the gaps in time between those with a full chord. Those are off the main beats as if syncopated, and the combined rhythm of all the bass instruments is now 132 beats per minute in the time of 4 over 4, which the composer indicated at the start of the piece. Now, the third rhythm. The first and second violins, along with the clarinet, take up a jerky rhythm in this pattern. We call that a dotted rhythm. With some variation, this pattern continues for quite a long passage in this piece. Try to feel how these three distinct rhythms meld together to form a unity, one which, had I not pointed it out, you might have missed. So here's Prokofiev's Dance of the Nights from Romeo and Juliet.
Thank you.
So, how was that for you? Did you enjoy the conducting? Now, just a bit of fun. I would like to play for you a little bit of how Leonard Bernstein approaches a similar scene from the musical West Side Story, which is also the Romeo and Juliet story. This is Tony anticipating the evening ahead. He knows something is coming, but he doesn't know what. The music is in two beats with the alternating bass which we've heard twice before. But although the bass rhythm is very definitely there, Bernstein plays around so much with the syncopated rhythm of the song that we very nearly feel as if we've totally lost the beat. The beat even occasionally changes from 2 to 3. Notice how the feeling of uncertainty and anticipation is created by the syncopated melody set off against a stable bass.
Could be, who knows? There's something due any day. I will know right away, soon as it shows. It make him cannonball down from the sky, gleaming its eye, bright as a rose. Just out of reach, down the block, on a beach, under a tree. I got a feeling there's a miracle due, gonna come true, coming to me. Could it be? Yes, it could. Something's coming, something good. If I can wait, something's coming. I don't know what it is, but it is gonna be great. With a click, with a shock, phone'll jingle, door'll knock, open the latch. Something's coming, don't know when, but it's soon. Catch the moon, one-handed catch. Just by holding still, it'll be there. Come on, something, come on in. Don't be shy, meet a guy, pull up a chair. Just out of reach, down the block, on a beach, maybe tonight.
And now I simply cannot resist adding Maria's anticipation of the same evening ahead. It's filled with delightful dance rhythms, quick as a flash changes of rhythm and tempo. It's a masterful handling of music that's often underrated. So Leonard Bernstein's I Feel Pretty from West Side Story.
What is Gino done to her?
Gino?
Why, Chino?
Maybe she's just darling up for us. Gracias, querida.
Rosalia, Consuelo, my adorable friends, can you keep a secret?
I'm hot for secrets.
No, I won't tell you.
What?
What?
The poor girl is out of her mind.
I am crazy.
She might be a rat. She looks somehow different.
I do.
And I think she is up to something.
I am.
I do. I am. She talks like a parrot.
What is going on with you, Maria?
I feel pretty. Oh, so pretty. I feel pretty and witty and gay. And I pity any girl who's in me today. I feel charming. Oh, so charming. It's alarming how charming I feel. And so pretty that I hardly can believe I'm real. See the pretty girl in that mirror there. Who can that attractive girl be? Such a pretty face, such a pretty dress, such a pretty smile, such a pretty me. I feel stunning and then prancing. Feel like running and dancing for joy. For I love my pretty, wonderful boy.
Have you met my good friend Maria? The craziest girl on the block. You know her the minute you see her. She's the one who is in an advanced state of shock. She thinks she's in love. She thinks she's insane.
La, la, la.
She isn't in love. She's merely insane.
It must be the heat.
Or some rare disease.
La, la, la. Or too much to eat.
Or maybe it's fleas.
Keep away from her, San Porcino. This is not the Marina we know. Modest and pure, polite and refined.
La, la, la.
Well-bred and mature, and out of her mind.
I feel pretty, oh so pretty, that the city should give me its key. A committee should be organized to honor me.
La 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 la.
I feel dizzy, I feel sunny, I feel dizzy and funny and fine. And so pretty, Miss America can just resign.
La 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 la.
See the pretty girl in that mirror there.
What mirror? Where?
Who can that attractive girl be?
Which? What?
Where? Who? Such a pretty face, who? Such a pretty dress, who? Such a pretty smile, who? Such a pretty me.
Such a pretty me.
Such a pretty me. Such a pretty me. I feel stunning.
I feel stunning.
And then prancing.
And then prancing.
Like running.
Feel like running and dancing.
Boys, for I'm love. I am pretty wonderful boy.
That's all the time we have for today's About Music. But to end off, here are a couple of thoughts that you might want to research a bit further, purely for your own interest. And as always, any questions or comments, you are welcome to write to me at brian@gsaradio.stream. All the above is available for you to read and play with on the website, where you will also find links to the music we heard and other information. It is www.gsaradio.stream. First, please Google Beethoven Symphony No. 5 Rhythm, and then follow the Encyclopedia Britannica link to read up about how that rhythmic motive appears all over the symphony. Second, there's a very interesting way of looking at rhythm as a clock face. I share the video on the website. Third, can you think of a reason for the prominence of a drum set and drummer in almost all popular music? Hint, think about why the drum set consists of different sizes of drums. Fourth, then can you explain how it is that classical music does not rely heavily on the presence of drums in the orchestra? Fifth, the very large kettle drums often seen in the orchestra are called the timpani, but they have special uses besides keeping the beat. Read up about them and how they support that alternating bass that we've been talking about. And then lastly, what function does that alternating bass serve? Thank you for joining me in this broadcast as we explored the concept of duration and rhythm. I hope you enjoyed listening and conducting as much as I enjoyed presenting the music. We've covered the aspects pitch and duration in music in the two programs so far. Please join me again next Thursday at 6 p.m. and we'll chat about music and how to listen to music as we explore the third topic, color in music, or otherwise called timbre. Goodbye for now.